This piece was brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, cane5.com, heritageradionetwork.org.
Opinion.
We hear a lot about the importance of knowing where your food comes from. We talk about it from the stance of who produces it, who processes it, who benefits, and who suffers. Over the past few years, we've seen an increased emphasis on the importance of traceability, though usually it's meant in the context of food safety. But what about tracing the money that consumers spend, say for a food you and your family have known and enjoyed for generations? This is the story of how the sale of Welch's grape juice paved the way for the J.M. Kaplan Fund, a charitable foundation whose involvement as a conduit for CIA-funded projects is well documented as an interventionist tool for maintaining American interests in Latin America during the turbulent revolutions of the 1960s. In 1945, Jacob Merrill Kaplan, then owner of the Welch Grape Company, founded the J.M. Kaplan Fund, capitalized largely by the profits from Kaplan's business operations, most notably the sale of the Welch Grape Company to the National Grape Cooperative Association in 1952. Between 1961 and 1963, the J.M. Kaplan Fund was revealed by the New York Times and Ramparts magazine to have funded CIA infiltration of a number of organizations, both domestic and international. In 1961, in the Dominican Republic, the longtime iron-fisted dictator General Rafael Trujillo, nicknamed El Jefe, or the Chief, was assassinated, ending his reign as an unelected military strongman and one of the bloodiest chapters in the history of the Americas. The CIA's possible role in the assassination has been widely speculated but never confirmed. After Trujillo's assassination and the end of his regime in early 1963, a democratically elected government under leftist Juan Bosch took office, but was subsequently overthrown later that same year, after which point a pro-Bosch revolt broke out, and the U.S. maintained a military presence in the country for over a year to deter any possible communist takeover. During the period leading up to Bosch's ascension to power, numerous U.S. organizations voiced their distrust and later assisted in the military coup that ousted him in 1963. Some U.S. agencies sought to influence his regime from within as well. The International Institute for Labor Studies, for one, funded an Inter-American Center for Social Studies in the Dominican Republic, which trained most of the high-level government officials and technicians who served under Bosch. Through the CIA, the Kaplan Fund provided backing for the institute in the form of $932,950. It's important to remember that this does not mean that Welch's grape juice was in any way responsible for these events. It only means that the sale of a profitable juice company to a larger profitable grape company allowed for the existence of a charitable foundation whose funds were then used to influence student groups in international politics, which really isn't that unusual. A New York Times article from the period describes the most common technique for funneling money in the CIA, known as a pass-through or a triple pass. First, the agency transfers money to a front foundation, of which there were many, with sturdy names like the Gotham Foundation, or the Michigan Fund, or the Borden Trust. Though none of these foundations were likely to be found or vetted by the Foundation Library Center or its directories. Step two is when one of these front foundations makes a contribution to a prominent and widely well-reputed foundation, where they are legally and duly noted on their IRS Form 990s. And in the third step, the reputable foundation then makes a contribution to the CIA-designated recipient. In these particular cases, money was sent by the J.M. Kaplan Fund to the Institute of International Labor Research, Incorporated, of New York, which was about the business of promoting democratic, political, economic, and social progress overseas, particularly in Latin America. The rationale for this kind of CIA intervention is fairly straightforward. The monetary influence of a private, reputable, and charitable foundation is much more likely to be well-received and publicly ignored than the direct involvement of a government agency. The CIA's financial interventions are most likely more common and more effective than the sexier cloak-and-dagger kind of spy games we see in movies. The Kaplan Fund was also cited for backing the CIA infiltration of the United States National Student Association, a pro-communist group. Nowadays, the Kaplan Fund maintains a narrower focus on several domestic fronts, supporting causes such as enhanced quality of life in cities, though many of its programs are currently on hiatus. Over the years, however, the Kaplan Fund has been responsible for major gifts to the new school and is lauded as a savior of Carnegie Hall. So not quite the story of how Welch's grape juice sponsored regime change, but a fascinating example of how money can end up in surprising coffers. What other stories like this one are out there today, in a world where private money can be applied with as much surgical precision as a drone strike? The question begs for more answers and greater traceability. We welcome your thoughts in the comments. For heritageradionetwork.org, I'm Nathaniel Coburn.
Heritage Radio Network is a member-supported nonprofit organization broadcasting over 30 live shows a week. To learn more and donate, visit our website or connect with us on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram for more. The song used in this piece is Danger in the Snow by Snowmine. Thanks for listening.